following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Right. Refuge family, it's Monday, day after Easter, and I hope you were blessed by one of the services that you visually attended yesterday or even Saturday night. It was definitely a blessing for us to do that for you guys, as are the fireside chats. So if you're new to us and have not joined us for any of these, the whole purpose of these little 15-minute sessions that we do Monday through Friday at noon is to encourage, to infuse courage into your heart by way of the Word of God. Just a timely word, a brief word, a devotional thought that has, because it's God's Word, that ability to encourage us. And we need that, right? Especially at such times. And so that's our prayer, that they do that. And I'm going to pray, in fact, for that very thing to happen, as Pastor Chase is going to lead us in today's chat. And real quickly, before I do that, I do want to mention again that we have food for the Refuge family on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11 to 12, a one-hour window for just for the Refuge family on Mondays and Tuesdays. And then we open it up to the public in the afternoon, the general public, and bless them in Jesus' name on Monday and Tuesdays. But for you, the Refuge family, we have that window designed just for you. So tomorrow, if you need anything, please come on by and we'll set you up. Even have some masks for you if you need one of those. We can help you with that. So pray with me if you would, and then I'll turn it over to Chase, all right? Well, Father, thank you for today. Lord, as we are coming off the high, as it were, of yesterday, pondering, celebrating, rejoicing in the resurrection, our Savior conquering death changed everything. Lord, we know the one that we are speaking to now, the one that we will hear from now, Lord, ultimately is you, because it's your word that Chase will bring us. So Father, would you help us to receive what you have, what you've given him to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Jeez. All right. Thanks, Alan. Hey, Refuge family. How are you guys doing? I hope you guys had a good Easter. I know it was a little bit different for most of us than usual, but yeah. Actually, being the day after Easter, I was kind of thinking and praying about what to talk about. And from that, I kind of started thinking, okay, what are some of the challenges or the context that a lot of our family is finding themselves in? And I thought about it. I know people who are first responders that are part of our family. I know that there are people who are part of the essential workers who are a part of our family. I know there's also people who are in quarantine and ready to be out of quarantine in our family. I know there's also people who are challenged because of being in quarantine and maybe are personally going through hard things with their family. I also know people who are loving being in quarantine in this season and kind of just seeing the Lord move and work in this time frame. So with that, I was thinking, okay, in all those different things that are going on in our family, what would be helpful in this time frame? What can I share that would both comfort and exhort just them where they're at? And before I go there, I'm going to share with you guys currently about what's going on with my family and the things that work on just, I guess, our season of life. So my bride, Jess, and I, we have two little guys. One of them is 4, and the other one is 1.5 years. And man, they're both just joyous, fun, and just bright, energetic little guys who, man, we are so gifted to have. But I will say our younger one is a little bit mischievous. He definitely will do some mischievous things with a smile, and you can't hold it against him because of that little smile. But one of the things that he's been doing recently is he takes stuff that we have and he'll hide it in random places. Like, for instance, we'll be missing a toothbrush, and we'll find a toothbrush in the dog bowl, and we don't even have a dog. No, I'm just kidding. but seriously, I mean, today I found a cactus that we had underneath our bed. Other days we'll find blocks inside pans, and you just find these things in random places, in places that you would least expect. And so today, again, as the hope is to be able to comfort you guys and bring a little bit of an exhortation to you, I think we're going to find it in some unexpected places. So being after Easter, I thought, why not go to Esther? So we'll go alphabetical. And so turn with me to Esther chapter 4. Couple of notes just on Esther. The women's study here on Tuesdays is actually going through Esther right now. So if you guys want kind of a more comprehensive, in-depth just study on the book of Esther, I would recommend that you ladies go check that out. But for now, I'm just going to give you kind of a quick overview. Basically, Esther is about a Hebrew or a young Jewish woman who became queen of Persia. It was written during a time frame when Israel was actually under the rule of Persia. It had been after the Israelites were brought into exile after in Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar's rule, and then after that, the Medo-Persian Empire took over, and the rule of Persia was kind of the world power at that time. So it actually says at the beginning of Esther that they ruled over 127 different provinces, right? So this is what the story is about. The king at the time was named Xerxes, and the king actually had been married before Esther to a lady named Vashti. In Esther 1, there is the story about during this huge party that the king had thrown for all of his royalty and anyone that was anyone basically at that time frame. And in the middle of the party, he asked for his wife to come out and he wanted to showcase her beauty, right? And so she actually refuses, and that was the end of Vashti's reign. So she was demoted from being queen that very day. So Esther 2 kind of picks up, and it kind of picks up at a place where the king sends out, some people to go find the most beautiful women of all of his provinces, and Esther being one of those ladies. Well, eventually, Esther outshines the rest. He chooses her as queen. But a little thing about Esther is she actually was an orphan at one point, and so she was adopted in by her relative, Mordecai, as a young child. And Mordecai is kind of introduced into the story a little bit more in Esther 3, and he has the scuffle with a guy named Haman. And Haman was eventually the guy that would become second in command only to the king in Persia. And so they have this scuffle. And after the scuffle goes on, Haman decides that he wants to not only do away with Mordecai, but because he was so angry, he actually wanted to do away with the entire Jewish race at that time frame. So Esther 4 picks up, and Esther 4 is basically their response to that. They find out what is going on. They find out about this plan that was decreed for them to be almost eliminated, as it was a law that was sent out by the Persian Empire, and then all the rulers of the provinces were to fulfill this law on a certain day. So they cry out to the Lord, they start fasting, they break out the sackcloth and ashes, and then during that time frame, Mordecai decides, hey, I need to reach out to Esther, because maybe this whole thing that's going on, maybe she was brought to this place for this time frame. Now, that kind of brings us to what I was mentioning earlier, finding some comfort and finding some exhortation in a place that was least expected. Because I think really as you look at his exhortation or his calling her to make a decision, it happens in a way that's a little bit not what I would expect, right? So he finds it as he mentions these two things, God's sovereignty and our human responsibility within it. And I say that actually comes in a way that's unexpected, because most of the time when we hear those two words in a sentence, you think of a theologian, these different theologians debating on how this all works together, right? For me personally, I think about that, and you know what? I rest in the fact that God, what G.K. Chesterton said, he said, a God who we know fully isn't a God worth worshiping, right? And though they debate all these things, I don't think you have to choose one or the other for it to work. I think God's given it to us so we can trust the fact that he's good and he's in control, and we are to trust him, we're to obey him, we're to put our belief in him, we're to put our faith in him, we're to repent, we're to do these different things. I think A.W., if you guys want any more information on that, A.W. Tozer does a great job on kind of sharing about the will of a person and at the same time God being in control or sovereign over those different things and the knowledge of the holy. So if you guys get the chance, check that one out. If you have any more questions about that, you can email me at David@refugefamily.com or Isaac@refugefamily.com, and we'll kind of iron out all those things for us. No, I'm just kidding. That's not really my name, so just the way it works. But in this text specifically, he is talking here about this idea that Esther, you have been put in this place. He says in verse 13, it says, Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows, perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." So he's exhorting her and he's saying, hey, in this time frame, whether you decide to act or not, God will bring about his deliverance for his people. I mean, he's trusting the fact that his ancestor Abraham had been promised that from his line there would be a redeemer. Their ancestor David, King David, was told that there would be a redeemer who would also come from them. And so he's saying, whether it's you or not, he knew and trusted that God was going to deliver his people. But secondly, he was saying, in light of all that was going on, the fact that you've been brought to this place of influence, that wasn't, I don't think, by accident. He's saying that maybe God has brought you here because he wants to use you to be his vehicle to be able to save his people. Now, if you guys know the rest of the story, that is what Esther does. She chooses to obey God over her fear, and God uses her to be able to be a means of deliverance to the people at that time frame. But secondly, he appeals to her responsibility in this area, or her will, to her free will to be able to choose what to do. Because though this is what he was calling her to do or telling her that she should be doing, there were some things that stood in the way. For instance, Esther could not just go to her husband at that time frame and say, hey, this is what's going on, like you and I could. But she actually, in that time frame, could not approach the king, nor could anyone else, without him revealing and saying, hey, I actually want you to come over here at this time frame. And before that, Esther shares that it's been 30 days since the king had actually asked for her. So she was saying that to actually do this would be to put her life in danger, knowing that even if it was the queen, if he didn't want her, he can easily put her to death. But she chooses at the end of this chapter to go for it because she believes that this is what God is calling her to. And she says, whatever it may come to be, I'm going to do it. And because she trusts what God says over her fear at that time frame. Now, you might be wondering, okay, how does this all work with us? Where you said that this is to be a comfort for us, God's, and this is to be something that will exhort us. Well, the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, friend, you guys can trust that God is in control. That you, even now, have been here for maybe such a time as this. That maybe the influences that you have, the opportunities that you have, the specific context that you are in, maybe God has put you there because he wants to use you there. I mean, that's the way that God works in the New Testament even too. Though he doesn't need us, he wants to use us because he loves us. And he wants us to be those who are out there preaching the gospel and sharing about him, what he's done. Now, that could be. So, I mean, we can find comfort and rest in that. And yet, here comes the responsibility part. It is our responsibility to be faithful to where God has placed us. That doesn't mean that you have to be someone that is now becoming a preacher or becoming a famous evangelist or anything like that. But in your context, if you are a father, then man, you are to love your kids in this time frame. If you are a mother, that you're to do the same. If you are a essential worker, then you are working to God's glory. You're pointing people to him. If you are a person that is a person that is in these, first responders, then you are doing this in a way where you're recognizing, God, you're in control. I know you're working all this out for my good and you love me. And at the same time, God, I want to be about your business. I know that you're calling me to this. And friends, this is not a call to rest in the sense of, hey, God's just going to fix it all. He will. But I think he's calling us for more. I think he's calling us to be the church in this time frame. And so whatever your context is, he wants you to live that out to his glory and for him, choosing not fear first, but rather trust of him first. Love over fear, right? And again, I want to encourage you guys, how will you choose in this time? How will you use this time? Who are you going to become by the end of this quarantine? And man, I'm hoping and I'm praying that you guys will use it to be conduits of Christ's love, that you guys would choose to be on his mission and showcasing and sharing about the good news about Jesus in your specific context, the ways that you can personally. So we love you guys. We hope you guys are blessed by this. And you can know that, man, God is good. He's faithful. He loves you. He's in control. And at the same time, man, he's calling you to move, to obey, and to trust him. All right. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.